From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Professor Sanjay Sahani, who is currently the Controller of Examination of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Sri Sanjay Sahani was a student of the first batch of the 5-year Integrated Commerce Program in Swami's University. He won the gold medal for academic excellence, both for his Bachelor of Commerce as well as Master of Commerce programs. Subsequently, Bhagwan blessed him to join as a faculty member in 1987 at the Prashanthi Nilayam campus. Later, he also served as the warden of the senior boys hostel at Prashanthi Nilayam and as the principal of the Brindavan campus. The topic for today's talk is Finish the Game. This talk was the keynote speech for the Sathya Sai International Organization Zone 4A and 4B Young Adults Retreat held here in Prashanthi Nilayam on the 15th of May 2019. Stay tuned, dear listeners. Interspersed and after the talk, we have some soulful songs sung by overseas devotees. And at 3:30 p.m., we have the live Telugu segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Jari. And with that, over to Professor Sanjay Sahani.
Offering my loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet, revered elders and my dear young brothers and sisters from Zone 4A and 4B of our Sathya Sai International Organization. Welcome to Prashanthi Nilayam. Welcome to the Prashanthi campus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And I express my gratitude to the organizers of this Faith Lift program for giving me this opportunity to contemplate on this beautiful theme of Bhagwan, the four F's. Usually Bhagwan would commence his discourse with a stanza, which he would usually sing out. And this is one of his beautiful poems, which he would tell us on several occasions. Punarvittam, punarmitram, punarbharya, punarmahi, etat sarvam puranlabhyam, nashariram punah punaha. What this stanza means is, if you have wealth and you lose your wealth, it's possible to earn your wealth again. You have friends, and for some reason those friends leave you, you can always make new friends in life. You have a spouse, and for some reason you lose your spouse, it's possible to marry again and have another spouse. But to get a human birth again is not easy. So putting it in the context of the last of the four F's, finish the game. What is that game? Swami would often tell youngsters, life is a game, play it. Tomorrow I believe you are having your Olympics in our indoor stadium, right? So as you gear up for your own young adult Olympics event, let's contemplate on this theme of life as a game. And how should we play it? And how should we play it so that we finish the game? In his monumental work, Vivek Chudamani, the great Indian saint Adi Shankaracharya, the founder of Advaita philosophy, makes a statement. He says, Jantu naam nara janma durlabham. There are 84 lakhs of species. Among 84 lakhs of species, the human birth is the crown jewel. And among all the life forms that we have acquired, as a fruition of all the good that you have done, you get this human birth. Having got it, do not fritter it away for a song. Now usually I used to take this human values course, Life and Its Quest, for a full semester for our students. Now in 45 minutes we have to compress the whole gist of it. And I'm very conscious that we are teachers, and a teacher is like a farmer. So it's possible that some things that may be said are like, you know, a bouncer in a cricket game. So you don't even have to duck. You know, the ball will just go above your head. But as I said, we are conscious as teachers that we are farmers and we are sowing the seeds, and one day this seed will fructify and will become a tree. So it is in that spirit I share, because Swami never hesitated to give his students the truth and nothing but the truth. And his Sai youth, the young adults of his international Sai organization, also deserve to know the truth and nothing but the truth. What is so special about the human life? Once Mr. Hislop, he has documented this conversation in a beautiful work called The Conversations with Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. He was an ardent devotee from the United States. So he said, Swami, is there life in the other parts of the universe? He said, yes, there is life, but not human life. Human life is there only on earth. And then he asked, why is it that this human birth is so special? And Swami answers it, the gist of it is like this. See, we were born as a dog. A dog will die as a dog. If we are born as a snake, we will die as a snake. If you are born as a donkey, you will die as a donkey. Man is the only species in God's creation that though born as a human, you can die as God. One day Swami was sharing with some of his teachers in the interview room at Prashantinilayam. He said, the speciality of this human birth is that once you have got a human birth, you know, we were born as all kinds of life forms in the past, and as the fruition of all the good you have done that, finally you get a human birth. But having got a human birth, you will never ever revert back to an animal life again. You will never ever revert back to an animal life again. You may be born poor. You may be born maimed. You may be born, you know, say, mentally deranged. All that's for, you know, as a consequence of what you have done in your human life in the past. But you will never go back to an animal existence again. There is only one way in which you can rise, and that is from manhood to the divine. Now the question arises, having got this wonderful opportunity to be born as a human, how do we use that opportunity? And Swami has given us this beautiful message of the four F's. In one of his discourses, I know a lot of deliberation has gone on the first three F's, but I'll just give a brief snapshot to lay the groundwork for my theme today. Swami has connected these four F's to the four goals of human existence. According to Sanatan Dharma, the faith of the Hindus, there are four goals of human life, existence. The first is dharma, second is artha, kama,
moksha. These are the four goals. The first step, follow the master, relates to dharma. The avatar, you know, in the first day, I think Brother Rame emphasized, underlined for our benefit, who is the master? And you know, he said, the master, right? And the master is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai for us. Every avatar comes for what? Dharma samsthapanarthaya yuge yuge. This is the Lord's declaration in the Bhagavad Gita. He comes not to protect dharma. Dharma is always there. What he comes to foster and nurture is the practice of dharma. You know, we have forgotten how to live a righteous life, how to lead a life of dharma. So the Lord comes to encourage us, prompt us, inspire us, be an example of that. And that's why the first F, follow the master. According to Manu Dharma Shastra, which is the ancient book of morals for Indians, there are four sources of dharma. The first is called Shruti. Shruti are the Vedas. You know, they are like the command of the royal command. Satyam Vada, speak the truth. Dharmam Chara, follow the righteous path, action. So they give a command. So that is the first source of dharma. But there's no explanation, there's no interpretation. So sometimes you are in a dilemma and therefore you have one more source of dharma. The second source of dharma, Manu says, is Smriti. The Itihasas and the Puranas, you know. For example, we have the Ramayana, the story of Sri Rama. We have the Mahabharata, the Bhagavatam, the story of Sri Krishna and his contemporaries. So many exemplary lives we find in this story, in this history. And from them we get an inspiration how to lead our daily life. So that is called Smriti. The third, Manu says, is in your own society, in your own contemporary times, look to people who are inspirational, you know, this divine personalities. So we had the beautiful blessing of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba in our own midst. His own life is his message. So you follow his life. But somebody may ask, but I have never seen Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Today, how do I connect to him? And Manu says there is a fourth source of dharma. And he says, that is your conscience. And that is what Swami said, follow the master is to follow your conscience. Your conscience is the voice of God within you. The second F talks of face the devil. Now what is devil? If you look at the Bible, you know, the devil tempts Jesus with all kinds of things before he realizes that he is the messenger of God. The devil, Swami relates to the second goal of life, which is artha. Now, in literal translation, it means wealth. But it is not only wealth, it is for all the material possessions. And it also relates to all your material acquisitions, tangible and intangible, you want name, you want fame and all that kind of thing also. So these are your temptations. And these, the moment you get attracted to them, you forget the master. Not only you forget to follow the master, you forget the master itself. So that's why it's called a temptation. Right? If I'm looking at you, it goes without saying that I'm not looking at the person next to you. Right? So when you get obsessed with artha, that's why Swami used to say, how do we get over this? How do we deal with artha? He said, combine dharma and artha. Acquire wealth or acquire artha through the righteous means. That is the way in which you will overcome your fascination for artha, your temptation of artha. The third, fight to the end. The third F is fight to the end. And Swami relates this to karma. Now, karma is a very interesting word in the Sanskrit language. Basically, it refers to desire. So, all our desires can be put in the context of. And to fight desire, please note, you have to fight till the very end. There is no such time in life going to be, now I am victorious and therefore I can sit back and relax. No, you have to fight till the very end. So it's an endless fight till the destination is attained. Now what is karma? Karma, ka stands for pleasure. Ma is limited. So what is karma? Karma is limited pleasure. Is it wrong to aspire for karma or fulfillment of our desires? Absolutely nothing wrong. In fact, our ancient sages said this is a goal of human life. But what kind of karma? Lord in his Vibhuti Yoga in Bhagavad Gita says, I am karma that is not opposed to dharma. That desire which is not opposed to dharma. Now yesterday when I was going through your wonderful exhibition at the Satsang Hall, you know, one of the things I found is that our young adults are good foodies. True or false? True. Right? Now nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. In fact, I remember many years ago, we were having the summer course in Vrindavan and Swami had called all the officials of the university as the summer course was ending for an interview. So the interview got over and then Swami got up and he straight walked to me. I was the warden of the boys' hostel here and he said, Sanjay, can you do something for me? And I was thinking, my Lord, you know, Swami, he could have asked anybody anything. Here is he coming and asking me, can you do something for me? And I said, Swami, what can I do? He said, you know, your hostel, throughout the year, the sambar and the rasam, it has the same taste, same smell. Can you do something? Now look at it, you know. Swami, he created the whole universe. He could have asked for anything spiritual, but no, he's not worried about it. He's asking, and then I realize how much he loves his students and his young devotees. So one of the first things he's concerned was the food. So I was not a good cook, and I was clueless. How am I going to fulfill Swami's, you know, command? But one thing I knew was what is good food, because my mother was a very good cook. So every day after the evening bhajan would get over, I would go and sit in the kitchen, I would sit with the in charge, I would sit with the cooks, and we would talk about the menu, we would see how we could improve the food, and the food did improve over a short period of time. One day I was sitting in the mandir, and Swami is looking at the students, I was about 5 feet away from him, and he made a statement, and he said, the students have become fat. So I said, thank you Swami, I got my certificate today. So I fully recognize how young people like food. Nothing wrong. Enjoy food. Now what's wrong? Now supposing you like, say you like a pizza or you like, you know, yesterday there were some wonderful dishes from various countries put up. Sir, why not you taste this? This is from Sri Lanka, this is from Singapore and all that. So, Now, our stomach is just this much. Now, supposing you take that much that you can digest for the day, wonderful. Now, supposing you think, you know, when I go back to Malaysia, I will not get this Singapore delicacy tomorrow. Why not have 10 today? You know, that is where the desire has got multiplied into greed. Oh, what if I not get it tomorrow? So let me take as much. And the next day you have a stomach upset and you go to your young adult coordinator. Sorry, you know, I have a stomach upset. Can you exempt me? I'm not coming for today's program. Right? So The problem with kama, as I said, because it is limited pleasure. See, all of us are seekers of joy. Each one of us. Each soul is actually a seeker of joy. And the Lord has created this world for our enjoyment. So why not enjoy it? However, there's one thing which we should be conscious of when we enjoy the world. And what is it? That this world can give us only limited happiness, limited joy. The problem of each one of us is we want eternal joy from this transient world which can give us only limited joy. The moment you want eternal joy from this transient world, you have a problem. So what we are really seeking is actually that eternal joy. You know, once I get it, it should not diminish. It should not decline. It should not be dependent whether the room is very cool or the room is very hot. It should not be dependent whether the people around me are very conducive or they are, abusive. It should not be dependent on whether I won my game today or I lost my game. Whether I got a good news today or I got a bad news. When it transcends all these dualities, then that joy is the true joy. It transcends the limitations of this limited world. And how can you transcend it? And therefore, the Lord gives us a beautiful message in the Gita. Anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. My dear, this work is anityam. It is transient. Enjoy it. But know that it is transient. It will not give you permanent joy. Asukham, the same thing which gives you so much joy today, tomorrow it has the potency to give you sorrow. You know, you're so happy, say a child is born. Few days later, few years later, the child dies and you live to see your child's death. It's just, when the child was born, you were so happy. When the same child dies, you feel so sad. So the same thing which gives us happiness also carries with it the potency to give us sorrow. So how do we transcend this joy, sorrow, joy, sorrow, joy, sorrow? This sequence, pleasure is an interval between two pains, Swami would say. The only way in which you can get out of this, divert your mind. To whom? To the one who is the embodiment of eternal joy and eternal bliss. If you want, there are two things in this world which God has not put. And if you want it, you can get it only at God's doorstep. You cannot get it in the world. Though it gives us so much joy in so many ways. And you know what are those two things? One is peace of mind, the other is bliss. And that is why, when we are dealing with karma, Swami says, divert this karma for the fourth goal of human existence. And these ancients called it moksha. Now that seems to be, something very, very, oh my Lord, it is somewhere beyond the ninth of heaven. It is not for young adults like us. Right? So it would be my endeavor in the next few minutes to try to bring us into the range of consideration of what is that moksha, and can you and I also aspire to realistically discover it, to realistically find it, to realistically touch it, smell it, feel it, and experience it in our own lifetime. So for doing that, we have to dwell on this fourth F, which is so very, very meaningful. Finish the game. Now, what is this game? I said, life is a game. Why does Swami compare life to a game? Any game, for example, it's a game of cricket or a game of football. Say, a game of football, it starts with a whistle. And finally, at the end, there is another whistle and the referee says, hey, the match is over, stop. So same way, this life is also an interval between two whistles. One whistle is called birth, the other whistle is called death. And this whole game of life is played between these two whistles. Now, how however much we may be so joyous with birth, but the moment you hear death, you know, we are filled with fear. My God, what is this? You know, something which I fear, I don't understand, I don't relish, I don't want to think about it, I don't want to talk about it. But the point is, there are only two certainties in life, they say. One is taxes, the other is death. You know, none of us can escape paying taxes. If not income tax, at least the indirect taxes definitely get extracted. Every time you make a purchase of any good or service, you're paying a tax. So, you know, 25 years from now, possibly there'll be some people in this hall who will not be around on planet Earth. 50 years from now, many more may not be on planet Earth. And 100 years from now, we can be sure that none of us are going to be here on planet Earth. That's a certainty. Absolute certainty. Whether anything else is certain in life or not, but this is an absolute certainty. So, how do we face death? Now, one thing which we must recognize and which will give us a lot of strength and a lot of solace. The first thing is that both relating to birth and death, Swami is in full control. One day, you know, we were sitting in the mandir and there was this roommate of mine. When Swami came near, he got up on his knees. And Swami asked him, "What is your name?" And he mentioned his name. And then Swami said, "Hey, that's a girl's name," he said. And all the boys around, you know, started laughing. There were only two people who didn't laugh. One was that boy himself and the other was myself. Because his story, this boy had shared with me. He was my roommate. When he was in his mother's womb, his father was a very good astrologer. So he did his astrological studies and he realized that he was going to be blessed with a daughter. And so he thought, both husband and wife thought, because it's going to be a daughter, this is the name we are going to select for our daughter. So they had already selected before the child was born. When the child was born, it turned out to be a boy. So they didn't know, they have already selected the name, you know, like girls' names in India is Sita, Geeta, you know. So his name was something similar. And so they thought, we have already selected the name, but it should be a boy's name because now a boy is born. So they just truncated the name. Actually in India it's a girl's name, but the truncated name made it appear as if it's a boy's name. Years later, when he joined the university, one day Swami was talking to him, he said, "You know, actually you were supposed to be born as a girl, but I willed it that you should be born as a boy." And look at it. Whether we are born as a boy or a girl also is Swami's decision, not our decision. So when Swami said, "Hey, that's a girl's name," actually Swami was reminding that fellow, even for your birth, I am responsible. You look at death. You know, death. Even we don't have the freedom to die. You know, even our death is in Swami's hands. I remember it was Vijayadashmi day, one day during Dasara festival at Prashantalam. And Swami started his discourse. I was sitting in the hall there and suddenly there was this devotee of Swami, Brigadier Bose. Earlier he was the founder director of IIT Mumbai and went on to become the director later of IIT Kanpur. He retired and then he came down and became Swami's contractor, you know, so engineer. So he would construct so many buildings at Prashantalam and Vrindavan. So this gentleman collapsed on the chair. And there were two doctors sitting next to him. They just went close and they saw the pulse and they found that he was no more. And Dr. C.G. Patel, you know, indicated to Swami from down that, "Swami, he's gone." And I've never seen that happen. Swami stopped his discourse. He left the podium, walked down the steps, went up to this gentleman who was on the ground, and Swami was having something in his fist and tightly he was holding it, and then with his other hand he lifted it up and took that tightly clenched fist and thrust something into his, you know, crown of his head. And the next moment Brigadier Bose opens his eyes. And Brigadier Bose, you know, mentions about this experience. He said,
actually had died, and at that moment I saw this huge bird which was hovering about me, and I didn't recognize, and suddenly I saw Swami, I mean not in the physical state, you know, it is in that super conscious awareness. So he saw Swami, and Swami was indicating to the bird, you go away, go away. Later on during the sports meet, he saw the mascot of our students for the sports meet, and it was Garuda. And he realized that the bird which had come there was none other than Garuda when he passed away. And it is said in the Garuda Puran that when very auspicious souls pass away, Garuda himself comes, you know, to escort them in the journey ahead. So Swami just directed Garuda, no, time is not up. You come later, not now. So he got back his life. One day he was sharing in Trai Vrindavan this story with the students, and he finished his narration and he was going back to his seat, and Swami was telling our then principal, Principal Narendra, and Principal Narendra himself went and shared with Brigadier Bose. He said, you know, Brigadier Bose, what Swami mentioned when you were going back to your seat, he said, do you know who is my Brigadier Bose? He, in his previous life, was an architect of the Taj Mahal. Now, you have heard of the Taj Mahal. Anybody who comes to India goes to Agra and sees the Taj Mahal. In a previous life, he was responsible for the construction of the Taj Mahal. In this life, Swami made him his engineer, and he has been Swami's engineer for so many constructions all over, including this college building. So even if you have not gone and see the Taj at Agra, you can go back from Prashanti and said, you know, we had our workshop in the college where the buildings were constructed by the man who constructed the Taj Mahal.
Stop me.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We will now continue with the talk by Professor Sanjay Sahani.
So, you know, both life and death are actually in Swami's hands. So, if that is so, then you don't have to be really so worried about what is important and not the first whistle or the last whistle. What is important is what happens in between the two whistles, and that is where all our focus should be. Now, having said that, we must ask ourselves, what is it which prods this human being to come back into this world again and again? And there are three sins, according to Shastra, three reasons or three causes for this coming back again and again. Punarapi jananam, punarapi mananam, you know, again and again you come back into this world. It's like in the university exams, we say, you're writing, you know, this person in the MS degree. So Swami used to joke, you know what is an MS degree? MS degree is March, September. He wrote the exam in March. He could not clear the exam. So he came back in September and wrote the September exam. He didn't clear the September exam. He again came back in March to write the supplementary. So they are called the MS degree recipients. So in this game of life, you know, we should not become this MS degree holders. So we should understand what is it which causes this birth again and again. Because you see, it's not enough. If you want to play a game, you must know what are the rules of the game. And how do I finish the game? How will the game end? So, you must know what is a foul. Supposing in a game of football, you touch out the football with your hand, you know, immediately the referee blows a whistle. Hey, it's a foul. And if you make too many fouls, you know, a red card goes up or a yellow card goes up. So you must know the rules of the game and know what is allowed, what is not allowed. So there are three reasons for human birth again and again according to the Shastras. And the first is called papa, sin. The second is called tapa. Tapa is that burning, you know, you have a desire and it's not fulfilled and you're burning, I want it. So that tapa is again something which brings us back into this world to fulfill that unfulfilled desire. And the third, Swami says, is ajnana, ignorance. So these are the three causes of human rebirth. Now let me spend a little time over papa. You may see, papa is not for animals, because animals they operate with instinct. Only to man has God bestowed on this wonderful faculty called buddhi, the ability to discriminate what is right and what is wrong. So this papa business is applicable only to human birth. It's not applicable to anything else. One day, Swami was in Shimla. Many decades ago, he was visiting Shimla and he was giving darshan amongst the devotees. And there was this lady who was having her baby in her hand and the child was blind. So when Swami came close, she gets up on her knees and she takes her little baby and she prays to Swami. She said, Swami, mere bacche ko aankhe de de. Please give back my son his eyesight. And Swami just walked past. When he came inside to his residence, there was this devotee of Swami, Swami Karinananda. He used to always be with Swami with a coca robe. If you see some of the photographs of Dasara and birthday celebrations, you will see him walking with Swami. So Swami Karinananda was shedding tears. And Swami looked at him and said, Karinananda, why are you crying? He said, Swami, in darshan line, that lady with that blind child so piteously prayed to you, Swami, please bless my child with eyesight. And nonchalantly, so indifferently, as if you didn't even hear what she said, you just walked away. How could you be like that, Swami? I mean, that was his honest expression of feeling. And then Swami said, Karinananda, do you know who that child is? And then Swami revealed, you know, in his previous life, what was his business? In the city of Bombay, he used to kidnap small children of parents and then he would blind them, and these maimed children would then be sent as beggars on the streets, and that coins or money which they would collect as alms, that money he would collect. That was the business he was doing. What he has done in that previous life, he's bearing the consequences today. And you are asking me to simply give away eyesight to that child. I know the past and therefore I know why that individual is suffering. So, you know, man, when he commits sin, he doesn't think twice. He just says, what is going to happen? Our vision is so short term. Only when you have a long term vision, then only we'll know what we should do and what we should not do. How to exercise this faculty of discrimination. One day, our first controller of examinations, Professor Nanjuneya, asked Swami, Swami, why does man sin? And Swami said, it's because he forgets the presence of God. Supposing we know that Swami is standing next to me, will you ever dare to say a wrong word in that presence? Will you ever dare to do something wrong which you know he doesn't like? So when man forgets the presence of God, that is when he is propelled to sin. So that is the first sin, first cause for human rebirth. The second, he said, tapa. Tapa is your desire, in a burning desire. And for that desire, we don't fulfill it in this life. So you come back again, you come back again, you come back again. And I know, I don't want to name that person, a very ardent devotee of Swami, he passed away and Swami expressed, everybody has to die, but he should not die like this. And what did Swami say? It's like, your last moments have come, the body should, actually you should leave the body. The body is useless. You should leave the body should not leave you. And then you afraid, no, I want to live, I want to live. So that's what brings you back. It brings you back. So tapa is, you know, desires unfulfilled. So that is what brings you back again into this world. And the third, he said, is ajnana. What is ajnana? Ajnana is ignorance. Ignorance of who you are. Who am I? You know, one day in Kodaikanal, there was this beautiful conversation. Swami said, hey, I'm going to ask you a question. Whoever gives the correct answer, I'm going to give you a prize. So there was tremendous excitement. Wow, now what is the question which Swami is going to ask? And, everybody is dying to give the answer because they want the prize from Swami. And Swami raised the question, who am I? And immediately the students go to, "Swami, you are God!" And everybody was hoping that the prize is theirs, you know, because they have answered the truth. Swami said, "Not correct. Not correct." Then somebody said, "Swami, you are Shiva Shakti Swarupa," because this is what Swami himself has told us. And Swami said, "Not correct." Again, they're blinking at Swami. And then somebody said, "Swami, you are Sri Krishna, come again." "Not correct." Then somebody got a brainwave. He said, "Swami, you are Sarva Devata Swarupa, the embodiment of all the divine personalities." Swami said, "Not correct." Then one person, one elderly devotee, got exasperated at Swami. "Swami, please tell us who you are." And then Swami said, "I am I." And everybody broke into laughter. You know, what answer? "I am I." You know, it looks so. But Swami allowed the laughter to die down. And then he said, "It's only when you identify with that I, you are in that Advaita Bhava, the oneness of your being. In every other state of existence, there is duality, which is not your correct state of affairs." And it's a beautiful, beautiful mantra. You know, about 3-4 days ago, we were in Penang, Malaysia. We were having the Sai National Conference in Malaysia. And there was this, I believe she has been a Bal Vikas coordinator also. And by profession, she's a legal expert. Her field of expertise was in shipping laws. And there was this former prime minister who had siphoned off some money of the country and had purchased a yacht, a luxury yacht, for about $250 million. And it was discovered, and the government of Malaysia wanted to get that money back, whatever they could recover. So there was an intricate maze of contractual law, totally, you know, opaque systems, and they had to decipher and finally make the claim and then recover the money. So she was appointed as the representative of the government of Malaysia. And I was so delighted, you know, to see that Swami's devotees are in such critical position. And she was narrating an experience and all the kind of opposition that she faced from all quarters. And every time, you know, there would be challenges, there would be difficulties. You know, you get into the self-doubt. Can I do it? You know, the whole country's hopes are on me. Can I do it? Will I be able to do it? And all the time she was, reminding herself. This was a beautiful mantra which I like to share, because it is linked to the, you know, narration which Swami himself made of who am I. She said, "I can." And you know why I can? I can because I am. Who am I? I am that Atman. She always kept reminding herself, "I am the Atman. I am Swami. I am Swami. I am Swami." With that faith, she broke through that maze of, you know, intricate contracts that were there, which nobody could decipher, and won the case for Malaysia. They recovered that luxury yacht, and in the last month, in the month of April, they have sold that yacht for $126 million. $126 million, you know, just by the faith of that one soul who said, "I can because I am." Now, when you say that "I am," actually you're identifying yourself with that divinity. So there are last 5 minutes left. I will just end with this thought. You know, Swami has given us a beautiful mantra, and he says, "Om Sri Sai Ram." Om Sri Sai Ram. The bountiful benedictions of divinity are just capsuled in this one single mantra. You know, we use it for so many occasions and so many casual interactions. Om is the bija of that mantra. No mantra is effective unless it has a bija. And there was a scientist who has done a study on this Om with an equipment called a tonograph. And he discovered to his great amazement when this Om was chanted, the tonograph translated it into an image of what is called as a Sri Chakra. Sri Chakra in the worship of the Divine Mother in India is considered to be a yantra. It's basically a plate with very mystic designs, and it is deemed to be, you know, very, very auspicious. So it was his scientific discovery that when you chant the Om, you are actually manifesting this Sri Chakra vibration. So we do not understand what power is there in this wonderful mantra. But more important, I would like to draw your attention to that last Ram. Swami said this name Ram has got three letters, Ra, A and Ma. Ra stands for Agni Bija. Agni Bija will destroy all the sins, all the papa, you know, that you have committed. A is Surya Bija. You know, it will dispel all the darkness of your ignorance, Ajnana. And Ma is Chandrama Bija. Just as the moon gives coolness to the mind, in the same way, this Ma will give you peace. You know, that Tapa, which is the third cause of our human birth, that Tapa is, you know, is cooled down. So that potency is there in that divine name, Om Sri Sai Ram. So have this, Swami has given us another beautiful little long mantra, and this is the prescription that I, a thought which I leave with you. How do we finish the game of life? Dil mein Ram, hath mein kaam. Keep the name of the Lord within you. Keep the name of the Lord within you and keep, do your daily duties. And daily duties will be different for each one of us. If you're a housewife, it will be different. If you're a student, it'll be different. If you're a professional, it'll be different. Different people will have, whatever are your duties, don't compartmentalize. This is personal, this is professional, this is family, this is organization work, this is my young adult spiritual work. No, all this is one. When you do all that, you know, one day Swami was speaking in Trai Vrindavan, he said, you know why man is reborn? He is born because of one capital crime. What is that capital crime? He identifies that this body is me. This body. And for that, there is capital punishment in the spiritual world. And what is that punishment, Swami? The punishment is to be born again and again. That is the punishment for you. How will we transcend this then, Swami? How will we finish the game? There is one way you can finish the game. And Swami said, whatever action you do, dedicate it to the divine. Practice it throughout your life. And finally, when the referee blows the whistle, the Lord is there at the other side of the tape. He said, hey, you have succeeded. You have won. And then we'll tell Swami, Swami, I did not win. You made me win, Swami. Because this is the realization of life, that we cannot finish the game on our own. We will not be able to transcend the cycle of birth and death. And you know, the examination system, especially if you're part of it, you understand. Swami used to tell us, see, it's like, supposing all the effort you put, and 40% is your pass mark, and you land up with 35 or 34. You're a little short. And what does your examiner do? He said, you know, so much the examiner, the student has worked. Can I give him half a mark there? Can I give him 2 marks there? And you know, he'll be going over your paper over and over again. And finally, he will say, 39.5, as per the approximation rule, it will become 40. And the controller of exam will say, pass, pass, you have passed. So that is what the Lord does. You know, he puts a little grace marks on our behalf. And he said, this fellow has passed. In my own life, I have seen people who have passed. And one, I'll end with this last experience. When I became the principal of Vrindavan campus, I stepped into the shoes of a gentleman whom I hold in great regard, Principal Narendra. He was the principal of the Vrindavan College from 1970 to 1986. And Swami said that he is my principal. If you want to know what kind of a man he was, one day Swami Karinanda was asked to narrate his experiences to students in Vrindavan. And because he would speak in Telugu, Swami asked Principal Narendra, you translate. So Karinanda was narrating an experience. He had a small medical clinic on the eastern coast of India in an ashram. So there was this night time and this lady was in the family way. She was about to give delivery to a child and she had been admitted to their small medical, not hospital, it was a clinic. So the nurse in attendance felt that maybe today the child is not coming. So she went off for a movie show late in the night. When she came back after the night show, suddenly she finds that this baby child is already delivered and the baby is washed and the baby and mother are both sleeping peacefully next to each other. So she was very, I am the attendance nurse, how come, who delivered the baby? So next day when the lady woke up, she asked, who was there in the night? I was not there to help you. Who helped you? And she pointed to a photograph of Swami and said, that Missyamma came and helped me. The poor lady, she didn't know that that is only a photograph. She thought that it's some resident in the ashram. Swami was of course in Prashadalayam. So she said, that Missyamma came and helped me. So, Karnananda said, that poor lady, she did not know that the person in the photograph is a man or a woman. Missyamma. She was referring, that Missyamma came in. So then, it was Narendra's sir's time to translate. And see, look at the man. See, the language speaks of the man. He said that little lady, she did not know whether the picture in the photograph was a god or a goddess. He lived all his life, you know, in that bhavam. And what a wonderful principal he was for the students of his era. When he passed away, Swami asked the family members to come to bring the body to Prashantalayam and cremate it in the Chitravati. And Swami was telling the students in the mandir, who do you think did the last rites for Narendra? I only have done it. This is what he told the students. I shared it with the son-in-law of Principal Narendra. And the moment he heard it, he said, my God, you know, shall I tell you what happened that day? They were on the Chitravati and the son could not make it. The daughter was there, but daughter cannot do the last rites. So some other male member in the family was asked to do the lighting of the pyre. So there is a little ritual, you know, they take a pot and then they break the pot in one corner and then they come and light the pyre. So he had broken the pot and he was returning. As he was returning, this is what the people saw. There was this aarti plate. You know, the flame was there on a plate and it was at quite some distance from the pyre. Suddenly a gush of wind came to the plate, picked up that camphor from the plate and the camphor flew and went and lit the pyre. Afterwards, this man comes there and, you know, they make the fire bigger. But the first fire was lit by the gush of wind which picked up that flame. So when Swami said, I have done the last rites for Narendra, you know, the son-in-law said, it is true. Then, a few days later, Swami calls the devotee and says, hey, take these sweets and go and give it to Narendra's family. So this man, you know, his heart sank. My God, there's a death in the family. And Swami is saying, take this sweet. You know, what will people think of me? Cruel fellow, heartless fellow, merciless fellow, doesn't, you know, have any feelings. So he was so hesitant. And he's looking, ask Swami, sweets have to go and give to that family. Then Swami said, you tell them, when a man is liberated, it's an occasion of celebration. And that is why I'm sending these sweets to the family members. And you know, can imagine the joy, imagine the joy. So, in my own lifetime, I have seen people who have finished the game. So, play by the rules, dil mein ram, haath mein kaam, and the destination is ahead of you. Sai Ram.
Star produces its light. It illuminates like a torch the path in life, and all darkness vanishes. When love becomes your guiding star, it changes everything. Take you far and bring you home in
Comes Love is my fall, truth is my breath, bliss is my food. My life is my message, expansion is my love. My life is my message, expansion is my love. Love is my fall, truth is my breath, bliss is my food. Love is my form, truth is my breath, bliss is my food. Love is my form, truth is my breath, bliss is my food. My life is my message, expansion is my love. My life is my message, expansion is my love.
From a small group of people who visit Swami, today the numbers have swelled to thousands and thousands. Why?
No reason for love, no season for love, no birth, no death. No reason for love, no season for love, no birth, no death.
And the people who flock come from all over the world. Why? Swami is sweet in his speech, ever smiling, extremely polite, and forever willing.
My life is my message, expansion is my love. My life is my message, expansion is my love. Love is my form, truth is my breath, bliss is my food.
Respect to parents, elders and leaders, love and concern for others, and very patient.
My life is my message, expansion is my love. My life is my message, expansion is my love.
Swami loves his students, the flora and the fauna, the plant and the animal kingdom, loves his devotees, loves all, and serves all.
My life is my message, expansion is my love. My life is my message, expansion is my love. Love is my form, truth is my breath, bliss is my food. Love is my form, truth is my breath, bliss is my food.
You give me hope when all around was lost, and I could see no point in trying. Why, saw love passing by me. You came into my life, you came into my life. I look around and what I had is gone.
Closer.
faith, the kind I thought had gone. Somewhere down the line, I think I'd lost it. Now I felt changes in my heart. My faith in you is strong. My faith in you is strong. The shining light, the morning dawn, when
Say Krishna, but I know you're one and the same, just different names, and from time to time, to help mankind, you keep coming around. Some know you as Allah, some know you as Jesus, some know you as Buddha, some say Zoroastra, some say Krishna. This feeling
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.